The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Primetime it is. Welcome back to First Take. We are back at the Seaport. You still enjoying it, guys? You want to go back to houses? I like it.
I don't like traffic, but I love this.
True. It's been 6 months, but finally we're here on the rooftop at Pier 17 and really happy to be back with my guys. On that note, we bring in another one of my guys, longtime friend. The list of accolades for our next guest, endless. Champion, go, what else can I say? Now he's a head coach at Jackson State, the one and only Primetime, Deion Sanders. Deion, always good to see you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. You know that.
My brother, I have to try him in as the lone HBCU graduate on this panel right here. I mean, I'm so touched. I'm so proud. Can you just put into perspective for everybody? You starred at Florida State. You were an All-American, All-World player. Obviously, it would have been nice had you gotten that job, but, I mean, for the purposes of an HBCU, it definitely means something to me and so many HBCU grads out there. Why did you take this job? Talk about that for a second.
I think such a time as this, what we're going through in the turbulent times of our country and what the black man is up against, I think it was time. Not only time to take this job, but time to take these kids and level the playing field and give them the opportunities that they deserve. When you only have two kids that's invited to the entire NFL combine, that's a travesty. When you have kids that consistently went into the NFL and matriculated to that level, wait, hey, Jackson State has four former NFL players, former Hall of Fame players that matriculated from the school, and we need to get that back. We need to get that back going that we once had, and it, when the guys are so prevalently leaving HBCUs, going into the NFL ranks at a high rate.
Deion, let me just say this quickly, and this isn't just lip service. Obviously, I had the pleasure of knowing you for a long time now, working together at NFL Network, and I've leaned on you. I'm going to tell people for advice. You're inspirational. You're motivational. I have so much love for you. And my husband, even before we were married, he did as well and idolizes you. And these kids are so lucky to have you. So I just want to put that out there. And with
Thank
that
you.
Being said, it's not all love. You're going to have critics, too. Our Barmani Jones here at ESPN had some thoughts on your hire. I want to play that sound for you and get your reaction.
Yes. But Deion Sanders has typically been in this for Deion Sanders. And if that's what it's going to be, this is going to fail. This job is going to be hard as hell. The institutional problems that you're going to have, the resource shortages and all that stuff, this is not going to be an easy thing for you to do. But if he focuses on the players, then he will be a success. If he focuses on Deion Sanders, he's going to be a failure, and that's going to extend not just to him, but to the school and to HBCUs in general.
Deion, talk to me.
That means I'm doing the right thing. Trust me, when a hater shows up and raises his hand and raises his voice, that means God knows I'm on the right path. I love it 100%. In a certain way, he's talking pointless rhetoric. Why else would I do this? I'm not in it for me. I live on 150 and a mule, and I'm perfectly happy and at peace with my life. This is a God's calling. God called me from Dallas, Texas to Jackson, Mississippi to provoke change. God has called me to Atlanta. He's called me to San Francisco, various places that I've gone. It's always been to provoke change. I'm doing what I've been normally doing for the entire lifespan that I've lived, to provoke change. And that's what I'm going to do at Jackson State University, provoke change.
It was interesting to me, Deion, when I heard that you wanted to coach, because, like, I think about the athletes that have performed at your level. Babe Ruth wanted to manage. The Yankees were like, "Nah, you're about yourself. You're not going to be a manager, right?" MJ never coached. Sugar Ray Robinson didn't train fighters, right? The best who ever did it, normally they don't want to coach. What is it about coaching in particular that is in your blood?
Well, I'm just not a coach. I'm a people's person. I'm a guy that wants to see the next man, the next brother, the next woman come up. I'm the guy that wants to reach one, teach one, touch one, and love another. I look for the positive things in everybody and everything, not the negativity. So it's not that I want to coach. I want to touch people and bring people to the next level, the next generation. I want them to maximize their moments. That's who I am. And I've been coaching a lot of those people that didn't even go through the ranks. Man, I've been coaching youth football for the longest. I coached high school for the longest. I could have been a college and a pro NFL coach. I did not want to do that. My son, my youngest son, now he's leaving. So now it's time for Prime to coach the next level.
Listen, I've been doing various interviews over the last 24 hours, and I've been reminding everybody that you've been coaching youth football, you've been coaching on the high school level, that you had a plethora of opportunities in the broadcast world that you passed up on because you wanted to be, you wanted to stay coaching. But I want to get back to what you pointed out, Dion, when you just brought up how just a couple of dudes were invited to the NFL Scouting Combine. Allow me, before I ask you my next question, to just throw a few names out there for NFL scouts, NFL personnel, NFL management. Walter Payton, the great Walter Payton, came from Jackson State. Jackie Slater came from Jackson State, who blocked for Eric Dickerson in the best four-year run of his career. The greatest wide receiver in the history of football, Jerry Rice, came from an HBCU. Listen, Shannon Sharp came from an HBCU. The list goes on and on. So there you go. Robert, so my question, to you would be this. When you talk about what the NFL has not been embracing, in your estimation, why do you think that has been the case in terms of really seeing and giving HBCU athletes a chance? And what do you think you specifically are going to be able to do to change that?
First and foremost, I'm going to shine the spotlight. I'm going to expose a lot of things that we should know, we should see, we should truly understand. HBCUs in general, sometimes they're not apt to recruit high-profile players, 4-, 5-star, 3-star players, that they don't think they're going to get them because they don't think they have the resources. I'm recruiting those kids already. I'm trying to get those kids to flip already. That's what we're doing. We're going after the best because these kids deserve the best. In regards to what the NFL ain't doing, the NFL is doing the best they can. We got to level the darn playing field. Just because you play at the HBCU, that does not mean that you're not qualified to play at the next level. These kids come from the same high schools, but when they get to the next level, we want to see the same type of dormitories. We want to see the same type of training tables. We want to see the same type of equipment, the same type of things. Now, we have the same fans. We have the bands are so much better. But when it comes to the on-the-field performance, we need to level the playing field with the coaching ability as well as the players. And we have that. We truly
Prime,
do.
Let me ask you this. The previous question about like the MJs or the Sugar Ray Robinsons, they didn't wind up coaching. Why is it in you? I think one of the reasons that the lesser players sometimes make better coaches is because they didn't have otherworldly gifts, so they can more easily accept that in their players. Whereas someone as talented as you, the only talent I see comparable to you that I've ever seen was Lawrence Taylor, right? Sometimes, like, how do you get over that? How do you coach players and accept their physical limitations given the fact that you didn't seem to have many? You know what I mean? Like, how do you do that as a coach?
I don't expect my players to be prime. I expect my players to be the best they can be. I can't expect that out of them. I just want to develop these kids, guide these kids, lead them, and mature them to be the best football player they could be, which would then mature to the best And not all these guys are going into the league. We know that. Not all the guys from Alabama or elsewhere are going into the league.
Oh, looks like we lost Dion there for a second.
We'll
I wanted
back.
To ask
we'll
about
him
the Cowboys,
we'll get him back.
Too.
He's coming back.
We'll work
back.
On
we'll
that.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Welcome back to First Take. You know, Monday was a rough show for Stephen A. Max. Remember that? I kind of want to bring it back up. So the Cowboys lost to the Rams week one, then they pulled off an epic comeback against Atlanta, or you could say Atlanta collapsed again.
They did.
And then Stephen A., Jerry Jones said they've got a lot of work to do. They've got Seattle this week. Tell me this. How should the Cowboys feel about themselves?
They should consider themselves very blessed and lucky because they played against a team that displayed some of the dumbest mistakes we've seen arguably in NFL history. I want to remind everybody that the Atlanta Falcons were up 20-0, 29-10 at halftime, 39-24 with under 5 minutes left in the game. And still in all, they were in a position where all they had to do was fall on the ball. So let's understand the magnitude of this. Not one, not to imitate LeBron James, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six different Atlanta Falcons surrounded the football. And they acted like it. Now, this is a team that is receiving.
Like it was radioactive.
Receiving the onside kick, okay? Which means you plop on the football
and
the game is over.
They were social distancing. 6 feet from the football.
Guys are social distancing. All you had to do was plop on the football. And instead, they literally stood around and at least two of the players backed up from the football as if they were the ones punting it off. And they were looking for better field position for themselves for Dallas Cowboys offense to have. It was just an embarrassingly dumb mistake to make. And that is why the Dallas Cowboys and its nauseating, disgusting fan base walked away having a victory this past Sunday. It won't happen against Seattle, I can tell you that much. But they always play well up in Seattle. They play tough. And that's with the 12th man there. So I anticipate that they'll play well again this week. But in the end, their secondary is still suspect. Leighton Van Der Esch is out, obviously. I think that there are holes in Dallas's defense with Russell Wilson playing the way that he's playing. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Carson, those boys playing the way that they're playing with Greg Olsen there as your tight end now. I think that they're going to drop 40 on the Cowboys as well. We'll see what happens because I know the Dallas Cowboys offense will put up some points.
Max, hold tight because I hear we have primetime back. Deion, you got us?
Yes, I do. Stephen A. still breaking that heat with the Cowboys. You got to love him, baby.
Hey, let me ask you this,
Deion. Prime, these are both your former teams
Prime,
here.
Prime, I'm sorry, Molly. Prime, can I ask you a question? Your former team, the Atlanta Falcons, answer me honestly. Have you seen a dumber mistake? A dumber mistake in NFL history?
I cannot do it. I'm out of aspirin. I'm out of Tylenol. I'm out of Excedrin. I'm out of everything. I can't do it with the Falcons anymore. I love red and black. I bleed red and black, but I can't do it. They take you into depression. They really do.
I mean, I'm just saying, was this not dumb?
Stephen A., I just got hair. They trying to get that out. The new hair again. I can't do
it. Stayed away from that ball like it had COVID-19, man. I'm telling you, social distancing around the ball.
It's embarrassing.
It's almost exactly a 6-foot radius of 5-6 different players around that ball. Prime, I understand one dude with a brain freeze, right? I get that.
Six.
That could happen in any sport. You played baseball, you forget how many outs there are, you don't tag up, you do tag up. Basketball, you forget about the timeouts. One dude can have a brain freeze. How does the whole special teams unit, how does that happen?
How did you not know it was coming? We knew they were going to give up the lead. We just didn't know how in the spectacular fashion that they did it in amazed me. I was proud because I never thought that he would do it that way. I was actually proud of him.
Proud of them. Let me tell you something right now. Dan Quinn need to go. They haven't recovered since they blew the 25-28 to 3 lead in the Super Bowl. That special teams coach, he shouldn't even want his name publicized after his say. I mean, that's his responsibility. So it's definitely coaching.
No, the special team coach ain't had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
The five guys, the three or four guys in that area, they know darn well what was coming. Everybody knew what was coming. My mom ain't even like that athletically. She knew what was coming. She looked at me and said, baby, how did they let that go down like that? I say, mama, I don't even know. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired with the Falcons right now. And I love them to life.
Deion, you heard what Stephen A. just said maybe about the Cowboys in Seattle. I look at Dallas right now. I think they're really unlucky on the defensive side of the ball. They had issues with the linebackers last year, even though they had talent. This year, the linebackers are hurt again, whether or not they could have even gotten that talent together on the field. They're hurt again. They have real injuries on all three levels of the defense. Can the Cowboys beat Seattle?
No, not with Russell. Last name, Wilson. I love me some Russell Wilson and what he brings to the table. I don't believe it, but if anybody can, Dak can. We're talking a lot about the holes that they have, but we hadn't mentioned Dak because he's not one of those. Dak and Ezekiel Elliott will keep them in the game defensively. It ain't no playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. The linebackers are adequate. They will make plays. They will bang. They will run and get to the ball. But if Seattle has any sense of a darn running game against the Dallas Cowboys and Russell does what he does, it's going to be a long day for Dallas. But Dak will stand and deliver. Trust me on that.
Your expectations about just scouring the NFC right now. Aaron Rodgers is balling. Russell Wilson is balling. Ignore what we've seen from the Rams thus far. Who's your team to beat in the NFC right now?
Right now, my team to beat.
In the NFC.
All right. Oh, it was New Orleans before they laid a darn egg. It was the Saints because I loves me some Sean Payton. Loves it. I would go with Russell last name Wilson at this point, but don't sleep on those Rams. Mm-hmm. Don't sleep on the Rams.
Deion, I want to float an idea by you because when you went to the Cowboys, sometimes there is one player. You add them to a team like, it's over. That team's got picking that team against the field. I look at New England right now. Brady didn't have an outside weapon last year. Cam doesn't have it now. I look at the Cleveland Browns. I see Odell and Baker Mayfield with zero chemistry. I heard the rumors that Belichick was interested in Odell a couple of years ago. What about an Odell to New England deal before he starts making noise about getting out of there because Baker's not getting him the ball? Why not get out ahead of it?
I like it. Odell cannot be successful if Baker don't do his job. Let's get that straight. Let me just throw this out. The way that grown man, and Stephen A. knows who I'm talking about, is playing down in Green Bay, just say perhaps a guy named Antonio Brown jumps back into the picture late in the season. It's over. Do not discount one of these owners grabbing Antonio Brown down this home stretch because you know what he's going to do when he get on the football field.
Prime, can you trust him? Can you trust him, Prime? Listen, I know he's an all-world talent. I know he's an all-world talent. You were an all-world talent. But, again, in that locker room and on that field, you brought it. You weren't a distraction in the locker room. Can he be trusted?
If I was a church, I'd find the organ and hit me right now. It'll say, yes, Diana. If I was a church, we would be going to right. Yes, you can trust him. You know why? Because he's hungry. Because he hadn't been on that stage unless he was rapping in quite some time. And he missed those cold, wonderful, cool, loving hand claps of those adoring fans that named him and entitled him AB. Oh, yes, you could trust him right now. You know why? Because he hadn't received an NFL check in quite some time. And when you separate a man from his money, life is
Well, he fun. Said the money didn't matter. You remember that?
Yes.
You remember that prime time? He said the money didn't matter. Money wasn't important. That's what Antonio Brown said. He said the money wasn't important.
It wasn't important at that time, but right now, it's not important. But for him to have his game back, that's what's important. You need a stage. Every entertainer needs a stage. How can you be an entertainer without a stage?
But, Deion, how much of this is you wanting to see the best in everything, wanting to uplift people, right? Trying to hope, like
a lot of people today
in AB. But the fact of the matter is, how do we know he hit bottom and is ready to bounce up, or if that'll ever happen? We saw time after time, he'll get it together now with the Raiders. They support him. Nope. He throws everyone under the bus. Goes to New England. Messes up there. On social media. Messes up there. What makes you think now is bottom for AB?
Well, first and foremost, can we quit focusing on the yesterday and let's look towards today? Because today has at least 18 more hours or 12 more hours to be functionable and we could be profitable today? AB, yesterday is gone. We got to look forward. And as far as Odell, I pray to God that marriage is made and continues in Cleveland. I don't think so, not whatsoever. Why? Because Baker Mayfield inconsistent. And these guys like Odell want the ball early and often, and he has a consistency in what he's always done in the game.
Prime.
Good or bad, he's giving you 1,000 yards.
Prime, if you had your druthers and you could put Odell Beckham Jr. on a particular team, you had your choice. What team would you want OBJ on most?
To win?
Yes.
I would want it with Cam. Cam.
That's a good
I would
one.
Want it with Cam, but he's not. Honestly, I would want it with Aaron Rodgers. I would want it with Aaron Rodgers.
I see Cam, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson. You put them anywhere in those on one of those teams, that's your Super Bowl winner.
New England is not going to beat Kansas City. Let's just get that straight, okay? They're not going to beat Baltimore. Let's just get that straight. Why would you waste an Odell Beckham in that situation, and they're not going to beat them?
Baltimore, Kansas City, who would win that matchup?
They play Monday.
But we're going to see real soon.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no matter what happens Monday night, that's week 3 of the NFL season. That ain't like the playoffs of the Super Bowl. If they had to go up against each other with the house on the line, who you going with right now?
Right now, I'm going with the Chiefs because they're the Super Bowl champions and they hadn't lost. You got to lose before I uncrown you.
Yeah, Mahomes also prime. It does not matter what the score is at the half. This dude just keeps coming. Everything you can say about Aaron Rodgers, you in his prime, or even now the way he's looked, you can say about Mahomes at least.
Well, let's say about Eric Bieniemy while we're doing all the same. Eric Bieniemy is a grown man calling the plays. Let's get that straight.
That's right. And he deserves a head coaching job, no question. Deion Prime, before I let you go, how are you gonna feel about coaching? But you know you ain't gonna be doing your analysis. There's no NFL analyst job title on your resume, is there?
Baby,
are you still gonna be doing
you
that?
You didn't hear the news? Did you not hear the news? This is Barstool Prime. What's wrong with
you? I understand that.
What
I'm saying, you keeping that job picks. While coaching? You keeping
yes,
that job while coaching?
Every coach has a TV show or a radio show. This is my show, and I get to control the narrative. This is the Barstool Prime. You think I'm going to lose this fix that I'm giving you? And guess what it does for Jackson State? It keeps my kids visually.
Bottom line
visually
is, he played baseball and football. Why can't he do
TV
for the NFL
I didn't know.
Coach in college?
I'm happy about it. Usually you hear coaches sit up there and say, yeah, man, I got the lock in. I'm doing just this. I didn't know you
kept
the job.
They learn. Every coach has a radio show, a television show. This is my show. Guess what? JSU, I believe, baby. I believe. You better believe. I'm coming in your living room to get you. I promise you, Coach Prime is coming in your living room to get you. So tell Grandma to put on some greens because I'm coming.
I'll leave you with this because clearly this is not my show. Max and Stephen A., all excited to talk to you. Couldn't get a word in here, but I got to ask you this. 21st in Prime now, moving the podcast. What can people expect and where can they listen to you?
They can expect the truth. On Barstool, they can expect the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. JSU, I believe. I need some dogs, baby. Stephen A., I can have the best coaching staff in America, but if I don't have the dogs, we ain't going to do it. And I got a great staff, and I need the dogs. Let's go, kids. I'm coming, baby. Coach Prime is coming to town.
All right, Deion, when all this COVID mess is over, we all hope to come out and catch a game. Best of luck to you, sir.
Happy for you, bro.
And obviously, Deion is coaching on HBCU. So with that, guys, First Take is part of HBCU Week. We had partnered last year, and we raised $4 million in scholarships. This year, we want to tap that. Please help us. HBCUweek.org for more info. Thursday, Troy Vincent joins us. CP3 joins us on Friday to talk all about it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles. miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. We are hyped about the NBA Finals and, of course, excited to be back at home here at Pier 17 at our Seaport Studios. Thank you for taking some time to spend part of your day with us, and also hyped about our next guest, who needs no introduction, Grammy-nominated artist, Detroit native, Big Sean. So good to have you here with us. He's got his fifth studio album out, Detroit 2, opening at number one in the Billboard charts. Big Sean, so good to see you. Right, and he's got his Kobe jersey on, so we're going to talk about that. Sean, let me say this. I got a lot of family in Detroit. I know how hard you rep that city, but I see you're kind of rooting for the Lakers here in the bubble, obviously. I respect it. You're a LeBron fan. Are you getting a little nervous now after you saw what Jamal and the Joker pulled off?
Well, you know what? I feel like for the NBA, this has been a year of, like, dream work, really making the team work. And the Nuggets are a clear example of that. Jokic, Murray, going crazy. Like, they got all my respect. Obviously, they got the Clippers way out of there. And I do think that Kobe is blessing the whole team, though, the Lakers. LeBron is at his best, you know, and I just feel like it's in the bag for him. Like it's written in song, so.
I know you're enjoying watching this series. First of all, thanks for being on the show. I know you're enjoying watching this series and what have you, but I must ask, because I know how much I was looking forward to and so many others were looking forward to, the Lakers versus the Clippers. The fact that the Clippers got knocked off, how much of a blow was that to you in terms of your enthusiasm? I know you root for the Lakers. I know you're going to watch no matter what. But how much were you looking forward to LeBron and Kawhi, Lakers, Clippers, that kind of thing?
I mean, every time they played, it felt like the playoffs already, like, you know, earlier in the season. So to me, it's to me, the whole NBA this year has just been like unexpected. You know, it's like you can't really predict it all the way. So I wasn't too surprised, especially when I saw how the Nuggets came back, you know, from that 3-1 deficit, how, like I said, Jokic is just like unstoppable, Murray unstoppable. And I really felt like the Clippers weren't going to pull through. So I know people wanted to see that LA duel, you know what I'm saying? But in the bubble, it's all unpredictable because I feel like people are 100% focused on their game and has not been like this in a long time. Like there's no distractions. It's no family members really there. It's just like straight focused on the game. So you see players. And we see this on the East, too. We see this with Boston. We see this with Miami. We see this with, you know, teams that have really come through and shown that teamwork make the dream work. So it has been a little bit discouraging, but, you know, it's how it's meant to be.
I see the Kobe jersey. I presume you're a Kobe fan.
This is Stephen A., we brought in a year with Kobe, and I didn't realize how special that was. I mean, I knew it was a special year, a special time. Yep. But that was my last time seeing him, and it was such a blessing to be in his universe. You know what I'm saying? And to talk to him, and you know, and Vanessa and everybody. And I didn't realize how important that was, but it has taught me that you know you got to take advantage of your time. Yeah. You know.
So what did it mean? Like this is the first playoffs since Kobe's tragic passing. The Lakers are in the Western Conference Finals. AD hits a game winner in a game they probably should have lost and yells, ooh, Kobe, when he hits the game winner. What did that mean to you? Like, what were you thinking when you saw that?
Man, I was just like, first of all, it happened so quick. You know what I'm saying? It was supposed to happen, dog. Like I said, I feel like they blessed that Mamba mentality. They had the Mamba jerseys on, you know, and AD, you know, he proved why he got the deal he got. He proved why he's him. You know, when you perform under pressure and you deliver, you know, he's solidifying his spot as a Laker legend. You feel me?
If you had your druthers, knowing you're wishing for the Lakers to get past Denver and assuming they will, who would you rather see them face? that historic rival, Boston, L.A., or right. would it be L.A. versus the Miami Heat?
You know, that's tough because it's like you said, the historical rival, but it's something special about that Miami team. Jason Tatum has been playing like he got Mamba mentality on his forehead. You know what I'm saying? But Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, so exciting to watch that I feel like Miami would give them, probably give them a better series because they have a little bit more experience to me. So I would love to see the Lakers Miami. I would love to see the classic, you know, Lakers Celtics. To me, I feel like either one is going to be, you know, pay-per-view worthy.
John, I got to ask you a Detroit question. I mean, come on. Your album's called Detroit 2 at number one.
Right.
Who do you think has a better shot at turning it around? Do you think it's the Pistons or the Lions?
To me, the Pistons have always come through. You know, we've had our, obviously, from the Bad Boys to the 04 Pistons team. So even now, I feel like the Pistons have the what they need to really, I mean, we went to the playoffs, you know, last year, and it's a tough time in the East, I feel like, this year coming up, because you got KD in it, you know, you got the Brooklyn Nets, you got Miami, you got Boston, so Toronto, all these teams, so it's going to be tough for them to pull through, but I do think the Pistons can come through. And the Lions, I love the Lions, but, you know, there's always rumors of a Lions curse, and I'm tired of, like, having my heart broken, like, you know, even the last game, them being up, you know, 14-0 and then losing to Green Bay.
Well, but, there's an upside. You're not in Atlanta. You're not in Atlanta. You're not an Atlanta Falcons fan. There's an upside.
You think that's the real thing?
It would be worse.
But here's the thing. I do think that the Lions need to figure out their, you know, change the behind the scenes of the team, really.
Well, Matt Patricia has to go. They've lost 10 straight.
Yeah, I think Jim Caldwell was probably the best coach we had in a long time. You know, I mean, it was weird to me that he got fired after a 9-7 season. And, you know, Matt Patricia's at, like, I don't know what we at, like 9-33-1 or something like that. So, to me, the Lions have to really, really, you know, and they've tried, and there are people who tried to buy the team or come into ownership to help change things around. And, you know, it's not happening. So, I do hope that the Lions really, I'm praying that they get it together. But, you know, I'm a Lions fan for life, so. I'm riding with them either way.
What does it mean to you to rep Detroit? Like, it's one of my favorite towns. That's the town everyone said, don't bail out in the Great Recession. No, give the money to Wall Street, not Detroit. Detroit's the first to pay it back. The town, like, in terms of sports, where when things were down and out, the Detroit Pistons, you know, not only in the 80s, but also that 04 team against the Lakers, the Kronk Gym, the late, great Emmanuel Stewart, and the whole boxing tradition. Out of Detroit, what does it feel like, not to mention the music industry, obviously, how does it rep Detroit?
Bro, to me, it is the heart of a nation, you know, the first paved street, the automotive industry, the first mall ever built. I feel like Motown gave an identity to Black people in music. And from Jay Dilla to Slum Village to Eminem to, you know, it's exciting to be a child of all of that. You know, I grew up in a household where Stevie Wonder was always on, and I got Stevie Wonder on my album. I got a lot of love and a lot of support from the city. So it's beautiful, bro. You know, I feel like it's my purpose. I feel like my true purpose is to inspire, to, you know, uplift people, right, to motivate them. And I feel like, you know, I've had to sacrifice a lot of my privacy, talk about a lot of uncomfortable things. You know, like, I talk about how I had a heart disease when I was 19 years old and, you know, fixed it with holistic medicine. I talked about, you know, losing a child. I talked about all these things that were uncomfortable to me, but I realized that I had to sacrifice my privacy because people may be able to relate to that and push through with that. And I feel like that's my true purpose. So it's beautiful to be from a city like Detroit.
Sean, it is beautiful, and we see the evolution in your lyrics, too, and that's what I respect so much about you, because it's not just about the flash. You're real, and people are able to connect, and a superstar, and you're talking about those types of things, and you mentioned Stevie Wonder, but you also got a ton of great collabs on there. I know Nipsey Hussle being one of them. Rest in peace to him. All respect to you. Real quickly here, before we let you go, tell me what you're doing with the NBA Sync on ESPN. What's that about?
Oh, yeah, so one of the songs I have Don Life featuring... the GOAT, you know, Lil Wayne is the official song, you know, for the NBA and on ESPN. So it's just a great partnership. And, you know, one of the lyrics on there is you can't afford to miss a layup when you're in the playoffs. And that's just real talk, you know, so it's cool. And you can't fill the trophy cases up with nominations. So it's exciting, you know, to be in partnership and to see that beautiful piece that they put together that airs all the time. And I love it.
Love it. Yeah, Weezy on your album as well. He's a friend of the show here, too. All right, yeah. Big Sean, thank you so much for the time. Come back and visit us soon and keep doing your thing.
I got to come back, man. And thank you guys. Thank you guys, man. It's too much entertainment. I love y'all, man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Likewise.
Yeah. And we'll forgive you. You know, I just want to say one thing. Max, we'll forgive you for championing the Clippers so hard and being so adamant and passionate. It's all love. You know, I love Kawhi. You know what I'm saying? I got love for him. But, you know, I'm just letting you know it's okay, bro. Like, don't go to sleep feeling so
well,
bad.
Well, Big Sean, now we're enemies.
Sean, all right, thanks for the time. All right. Stay safe. God bless.
All right, peace. God bless you, too.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
He's one of those guys that have that it factor, and it's a pleasure to call him our quarterback and watch him grow as well, because I truly, truly believe, you know, if he continues to keep that mentality and that mindset that he have, he definitely at some point will bring a Super Bowl here, you know, if he's still playing with the Cardinals. Like, that's how confident I am in him, and that's how confident he is in himself as well.
Patrick Peterson with a ringing endorsement for Kyler Murray. Look who's here. Ryan Clark, RC, entertaining me this morning on Get Up while I was preparing for the show. How we doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Let's get right into it, guys. We know Big Perk's a believer, Max, in these Cardinals. He's excited about them. 2-0, doing something special. Do you think Kyler Murray's a top 10 player at this point?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm surprised to say it, but I do, and I'll tell you why. Basically, the whole top 10 is populated by quarterbacks. It's by so much the most important position that if you're one of the elite quarterbacks, you're in the top 10. And part of this is guessing, because you want to know the trajectory of the guy's career. For example, right now you wouldn't put Drew Brees there, because when you have two bad performances at 41, you have to start making projections, right? So I'm looking at this year so far, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and based on their resumes as well, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Cam, Josh Allen, the way he's played so far, Kyler Murray, he's in that group. Who else would you put in that group right now? So, yes, if it was some player who'd been mediocre most of his career and had two games, that's one thing. But when you're the number one overall pick, who's excellent as a rookie, and then you do what Kyler's done in your second season when everyone's expecting you to ball out. A lot of people said Kyler might be in the MVP hunt, and he is. Yeah, I got to say, I think he's a top 10 player.
I'm not going to go that far. And the reason why I'm not going to go that far without even scouring NFL rosters is that if I can't even call you top four or five at your own position, I damn sure ain't going to call you top 10 in the National Football League.
That position's quarterback?
Well, again, when we talk of quarterbacks, it was like we got Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. Not necessarily in that order, but you got four quarterbacks that you clearly would not put him above at this particular juncture. Now, again, the dude is special. I think he has tremendous talent. I think he has a tremendous upside. I think Arizona is going in a forward direction, and I'm even willing to give Cliff Kingsbury credit for it, even though he never deserved the job because his resume didn't warrant him getting the job. But it doesn't negate the fact that thus far this season they're 2-0. It doesn't negate the fact that in all likelihood they can end up being 5-0 before we really start paying attention to them, because they've got Detroit, Carolina without Christian McCaffrey coming up, and then after that the New York Jets. If that ain't a recipe for starting off 5-0,
it better be 5-0.
I don't know what it is. They better be 5-0. So basically what I'm looking at it, I'm saying, okay, you have an opportunity. We'll see what you got. But to give him top 10 status overall in the NFL, we got to throw Aaron Donald into that equation, yep, along with various others. It could be a Khalil Mack. It could be somebody else. We've got to look at various teams or various players throughout the NFL before we adopt the mentality top 10 overall. You're not even top 4 at your own position. Mm-hmm. How am I going to give you top 10
quarterback,
throughout
brother.
The entire league? I can't do that, as electrifying as he is. I can't do that just yet.
Right?
Hell no. And guys, and hey, listen, I understand, man. We get all excited, and the door's been open for Kyler, right? We talk about his talent all the time. Cliff Kingsbury steps up and drafts him number one overall in the perfect system. But I want y'all to think about something. He comes into this year and we're saying Kyler Murray is going to be in the MVP conversation. And through two games, we are all excited about what Kyler Murray has done, right? 516 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 3 touchdown runs, though, and a little bit over 100 yards. Let me talk to y'all about what 2018 was for the eventual MVP through two games. Patrick Mahomes, he had 10 touchdowns, 6 in one game, 4 in the other, and that trajectory carried him to 50 touchdowns and the MVP. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson last year, 8 touchdowns in the first two games, another touchdown rushing, over 100 yards rushing in one game. And so those are the stats that we're talking about when we're comparing Kyler Murray's second year, right, to the last two MVPs who won the MVP in their second year, and what those dudes look like through two games. And those two dudes had to kick the door down for us to believe in them, because one was drafted 10th, and when Patrick Mahomes was drafted 10th and sat out for a year, we was like, oh, we don't know if he should have won before Deshaun Watson. Who is this guy that they're drafting with all this talent but all of these issues? He kicked the door down. He earned his respect. Lamar Jackson, they had to move back into the first round to draft him. People didn't even think he should be playing quarterback. Should he be a wide receiver? He had to kick the door down. And I get it. We are ready to receive Kyler. We want Kyler to be these things. Patrick Peterson talks about him glowingly. DeAndre Hopkins talks about him glowingly. But those ain't top 10 stats. Those ain't really top 10 quarterback stats. Those are, you have a lot of talent. Arizona really sucks most of the time. You're 2-0 and you've played well. That ain't kick the door down stats. And it is not an indictment on Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be really good and in the MVP conversation one day. This ain't the day.
Ryan, you make a compelling case. I have to admit it. And I'll also admit I can't prove it. I'm guessing. And you're right. I am basing it partly on what we've seen from young quarterbacks in recent years. The first time Mahomes really touched the ball as a pro. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Look what they did. But I don't think I'm way off base here. Kyler Murray was the first overall selection. This dude put up crazy numbers in college, and he's so far undefeated. He's done what his team needed him to do, and he had an excellent rookie season. Like, you know, it's not easy to put up the numbers he put up as a rookie. And now he's doing it for a winning team. So if Stephen A. says, look, you got to take into consideration different positions, it's true. He's obviously not as good as Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack. You could say the Bosa brothers went on the field, Myles Garrett. There are others. But none of them are quarterbacks. Quarterbacks have a different impact on teams. And I believe that Kyler Murray will be in the MVP hunt this year. And he's the age he is and all that. He has his receiver.
Well,
my guess is he's top 10.
There's no MVP discussion if Arizona is in third or last place because Seattle and the Rams are above him. There's no MVP discussion. That's not going to happen.
If they're in the hunt, there might be. Yep.
Again, if you're talking about there, all of a sudden Arizona's in first place in the NFC West and they've supplanted San Francisco, Seattle, and the Los Angeles Rams, that would be different. But the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, the way Russell Wilson in his own division is playing.
Saying real top 10 players.
Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. What we suspect Lamar Jackson
will continue to bring to the table. There is no way that Kyler Murray is going to be in the MVP.
Look, Jared Goff.
Unless Arizona is in first place in the NFC.
If you'd have asked me two-thirds of the way through Jared Goff's big year several years ago, I'd have told you the same thing, and then I felt differently. But the NFC West is the best division in football by far. Yeah. That's not
all
even close.
Yeah. Let me get in here.
Attention, you're good.
Let me get in here. Yeah, it is the best, and they're looking like a playoff team, but we'll see. Stephen A. just teeing me up so well today talking about MVP. Now I want to talk a little NBA. Rye, I understand that you're a big NBA fan as well. You can talk more than just football. So I'm going to start with you here. Game 4, Heat Celtics tonight on ESPN, 8:30. Jaylen Brown at 26. Jason Tatum, 25 in Boston's Game 3 win on Saturday. Obviously, Hayward was back. Who do you think is going to be the MVP, Ryan, of tonight's game?
You know what? I'm going with Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler hasn't been a star through the first three games of this series. Jimmy Butler hasn't the first game he come up with some big defensive plays, a nice dish, a couple of finishes, but he didn't really take over as we've seen him do throughout the playoffs in the bubble. And I think this is the game. And listen, anybody can come up and show that energy for one, right? When you lose Giannis and Chris Middleton has a great game, he finishes. Jimmy Butler comes back and finishes that off. The same thing happened. You get in a big fight after the game. Marcus Smart is cussing and swearing. Y'all have a meeting. We have a kumbaya. And the four stars play really well for the Boston Celtics. I think tonight is a game where Jimmy Butler shows again that he's a dog, that when called upon and it's time to go face-to-face with the competitors, with the best, that he's the guy. And in the fourth quarter, he makes the big shots and the big plays defensively and distributing that get the Miami Heat the win tonight. I'm going with Jimmy Butler.
I almost went with Jimmy Butler, but I thought, you know what? I think the Celtics are more desperate in this game, so I think they're going to win. So I almost went with Butler because I was thinking, the dude with the biggest heart on the winning team is going to be the best player in this game because it's a pivotal game 4. And I think that's going to be Marcus Smart, actually, on the Boston Celtics. I think in crunch time, Marcus Smart will play well enough, and that unit will tie even the series up. I'm going with Marcus Smart.
Boston loses this game tonight. They lose this series in 5. That's why I'm not picking against them. That's why I think Boston wins tonight, because they lose this game. They're losing the next game. It's over. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that happening. I will say this to Jimmy Butler, because this is not an insult. We all know that Jimmy Butler's a rough rider. He's a self-made NBA star. He didn't come into the NBA with a whole bunch of accolades and superlatives attached to his name. He worked his way up that ladder, and we have profound respect for him. Here's what he needs to understand. Back in 2006, Max and Ryan, there was a dude by the name of Dwayne Wade playing for the Miami Heat. They were down 2-0 against the Dallas Mavericks. Dwayne Wade proceeded to score 42, 36, 43, and 36, averaging 39.5 points the last four games.
Back when that was a lot.
One NBA Finals MVP. He didn't wait for a damn thing. He went and took it. And he's the dude that vouched for Jimmy Butler with Miami. Jimmy Butler, go get it. You're that
he
dude.
Will.
I don't think he'll do it tonight. I think he'll do it the final three games.
I agree.
But he'll do it.
You guys are underestimating one thing. Jimmy Butler is in the bubble where they flew in barbers and he refused to get a haircut or cut his mustache. This is a man that is about playing.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler finna ball.
About business. We'll leave it there. Day 3 of wearing real pants,
Ryan,
being in person.
Ryan shout brought up the barber because Ryan set. Might need a barber.
I think Butler looks good.
I'm just saying.
Ryan likes to change it up.
I'm just saying.
That's his MO.
I'm just saying.
Bye, y'all.